Hello and Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love astrology and love sharing it with you. On the phone, this is Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you from Minnesota. I can't remember which state I'm in tonight. Minnesota, I am in St. Paul. And I'm joined tonight by Mark Woltz. Mark, are you there?
Yes, hello. How are you, Heather?
Wonderful.
Good.
And
I'm speaking
where are
from
you calling
New York.
In from?
Mm-hmm. Calling in from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And later on tonight, we're going to ask you to call in and ask us questions. And our phone number for calling in is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And normally we're joined by our other friend, Anne Ortley. And you and Anne will both be tomorrow night at the Open Center. Is that correct, Mark?
Yes, Tuesday evenings. We speak at the Open Center in New York. If you're in the area, stop by and see us. Tomorrow we start at 6. Mm-hmm. And we have an hour get-together, and it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And what do you go over there?
Well, we always talk about what's going on in the sky, like we will on the phone call tonight. Mm-hmm. And then we usually have a topic. And actually the topic for tomorrow night is highlights of 2012. So we're looking ahead at what's going on this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a very good thing to be talking about at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it's always good to start up the year with a little sense of what's coming.
Yes, and we've done that a couple of shows here, so if people want to go back to our archive show, they can look at our right before New Year's and right after New Year's to hear more about the whole year ahead, but we'll be weaving that in throughout the year as we go along as well. And I'm starting a beginning astrology class, or an intermediate astrology class, this Thursday here at Sacred Path Center in St. Paul, Minnesota. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And do you have any classes coming up, Mark? You specialize in yoga and astrology together, don't you?
Right. Yeah, I don't have one right in the immediate future on that. I have a yoga class coming up on Thursdays. We'll be studying the yama, restraints. It's part of the Yoga Sutras.
Mm-hmm.
So that's meeting on Thursdays.
Now, tell me, how do you see, you've been working with yoga and astrology together for quite a while, and can you tell us more about how you see those two disciplines interacting for you?
Well, it's interesting. I had a spiritual teacher say some time ago, there are two pillars for spiritual study, and they are astrology and yoga. And it was a nice way of thinking of them. Because both of them are about self-awareness and coming to realize who I am for each of us. Mm-hmm. Who am I? And astrology gives us big clues for that. And yoga gives us also more clues on self-awareness and a little more operationally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a little more sense. It kind of weaves in the body-mind-spirit connection. But yoga does that. I mean, astrology does that as well.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't as much emphasis placed on body with a lot of astrology studies, but it's there anyway. And it is actually a good thing to bring into your astrology study.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that, you know, one of the things that Eastern astrology specializes in is cures or remedies for astrological configurations. And it's something I think we're learning to develop here in the West. I would call it reframing, you know, that if you have very strong Mars aspects in your chart, you can reframe or redirect that by exercising or, you know, doing some form of healthy Mars, taking up a cause you believe in and championing it. And I noticed that there's been a resurgence of interest in the traditional astrology groups amongst cures or remedies for astrological information. What have you seen as far as that's concerned for your own in your own pattern? As do you know, do you ever use this in relationship to yoga as a cure for or a redirect or a remedy for some of the astrological configurations you see?
Oh, sure, yeah, in my own natal chart. You know, for each of us, the natal chart gives a lot of information on where a lot of the tensions are, what parts of yourself those tensions are in. So, you know, and where your moon is to sense of your emotional identity and so on. So I have my famous Scorpio moon. Right, and right there, that tells you a lot, right? Scorpio moons have all that deep emotional stuff, and it's all, you know, kind of black and white sort of things. They're either all this way or all that way or nothing at all, you know?
And so how do you see astrology helping you with that?
Well, it helps me to understand that if I'm pulled very strongly into a sort of emotional obsession on something, I can say, oh, there goes my Scorpio moon, and be able to step back from it and say, let's see if we can make this a little less of an obsession and, you know, bring in a little more balance to that. And then when you figure I have Mars square moon, you know it's gonna be a, it'll involve conflict with emotion. And then I can understand that, emotional conflict gets me going, gives me a charge, gives me a reason to get up in the morning, right? But it's not necessarily a happy reason. And so nothing wrong with, you know, having something that gets you going and alert and charged up and, you know, saddled up and riding. But then you want to be aware that that's what it is and that there are some choices that are ahead of you about that. So there are ways to direct it, and it's good to be on your horse and ready to go, but then you have to ask yourself, but where am I going? And not just race around the corral, lassoing whatever moves, you know.
You find so that when people are going through tough Saturn transits, I've noticed that their bodies tend to stiffen up, and with that, their mind.
Yes, very much.
That if if people start doing extra stretches or yoga during that time, they're less likely to hurt themselves, that part of Saturn, and that I see the physical flexibility giving them some more emotional room to roam.
Yes, that's a good point.
That time.
Yeah, and you know it's funny with those Saturn things. Some of them show up very much more internally. And the sort of the antidote is to either ease up on the sense of self-discipline or maybe bring in more self-discipline. You have to see which way it's going. And sometimes it shows up more externally, where people feel that they're being squelched and that they have no options, and that, you know, or else that they start acting out and saying, you know, I refuse to live my life with, you know, by anyone else's rules and all that kind of thing. And so you need to look at it all, and you see Saturn can show up in all of those ways, but again, it does reflect in the physical body as well as in our behavior and our emotional response to things. So whichever way you start approaching it, you're going to see the whole pattern. And then using a yoga practice or really any other healing art as well, you can address those issues and often keep them from becoming manifesting as a dis-ease and rather as something easeful as you let go of the dissonant part.
That's beautiful. So we've got some interesting dis-ease this week. We've just finished the a full moon in Cancer. It was a pretty moody weekend, I've noticed, for a lot of people. especially mm-hmm. as Mercury went into Capricorn and left the sort of cheerful Sagittarius Mercury, which has been buoying us up for the last few weeks. And so we had the full moon in Cancer. The moon's gone into heading into Leo tonight. But Mercury is coming up to conjunct Pluto by Friday, and that the Sun conjunct Pluto on New Year's Day. And if I see that as if we made some resolutions, or we kind of looked at ourselves and looked at our shortcomings and thought where we wanted to get ahead, that the on the Sun-Pluto conjunction, that the Mercury-Pluto conjunction this weekend asks us to go back and look at those. Now we've had a few weeks into the new year. Are we going to actually do it? Are we going to actually follow up and take us? And there's some serious plans and thoughts and format coming up with that Mercury-Pluto conjunction. That can be depressing if we don't feel like we know where we're going with it, but energizing if we do.
Energizing and very much helping to focus as well. The Sun can take on a big project, but then with Mercury coming to Pluto, we can break it down a little bit and say, you know, what are the steps that I need? Now, I had an overall awareness of my goal with the Sun conjunct Pluto, and I see what I need to change, and I'm committed to it. Mm-hmm. But now with Mercury there, Mercury's a little more willing to look at the smaller steps and say, how can I take the steps that bring about that goal? So that's a good thing to do.
And also at the same time, Venus conjuncts Neptune in Aquarius right before it changes sign. What do you think about the Venus-Aquarius conjunction?
The Venus, anything with Venus and Neptune, I always like. I feel it's such a blend of sort of spirit and aesthetics. That's usually, I think, a very positive kind of manifestation of Venus and Neptune. And when they conjunct, they're asking what, in an Aquarius way, can we express sort of aesthetically and spiritually at the same time. So there's kind of the higher mind, the sort of ability to view how everything affects everything else, and then that's the Neptune. And then there's the Venus saying, how can I express that feeling that I have, that everything is connected? And, of course, music always comes to mind right away.
That's a great night to go see music. That great connection. And I think that creative process is just cooking this weekend.
Yeah,
I'm a little worried about people who tend to develop either magical thinking or might develop an emotional obsession where they want somebody or something and they get lost in their illusion and then they obsess about it. So we may see some crazy behavior, and if people are acting strange, nod politely and leave the room. but if do what you can to be aware that some people with loose screws are going to feel even looser this weekend.
But for all
of us, it's just like, pour it into your artwork, pour it into your music, and don't make decisions until your feet are on the ground.
Yeah, and that's likely to show up as a merging, the kind of unhealthy merging of one into someone else. That's true.
Or some dangerous one night stands. But definitely, the urge to merge will be strong.
Yeah. And where that ends up being a sort of a loss of boundary, we have to hope that it's temporary. So, and things that start up under this, you need to sort of examine and say, did I go into this having dissolved my boundaries? And if so, maybe I need to step back and reassert the lines, under which I'm doing things. A little bit, have a sense of structure and rules. Because we'll tend with the Neptune-Venus to sort of ignore all the rules and say, you know, those don't matter. If it works, it works. Go, if it feels good, go with it. You know, and that, again, that's fine. That's a nice temporary, but then there comes a point of reckoning, and you mm-hmm. might as well get a sense of where that's going to be before it kind of slams you, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of describing it. So those are going to be some of the, and then Venus leaves Aquarius and enters Pisces. And how do you see Venus in Pisces? It's a pretty emotional place.
Yeah, and we'll see Venus there for, what, I guess a couple months, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's similar in a lot of ways to Venus conjuncting Neptune. It's
great.
A very similar sort of energy, but there is that dissolving of boundaries. Okay. It makes for a very compassionate Venus, so art will be expressing compassion a lot, whether it's music or painting or whatever artistic forms.
So
and social
like
relations will bring out compassion and caring for the other, you know, but
wonderful.
It is, again, that danger of, you know, losing self.
Yes.
And, you know, giving everything, you know, to something
everything
that'll... Yeah, and one of the unfortunate things that happens under that is we can set up situations where there's a giver and a receiver, and it's not balanced. So
mm-hmm.
the receiver is receiving, and not giving. And the giver is just giving it all away and being drained. So you have to be careful of, again, things that start up under this Venus in Pisces. See
mm-hmm.
if, in fact, there's an element of that there that needs to be corrected, sort of a mid-course correction. Doesn't mean you have to stop it or that it's a bad thing. Because maybe the initial motivation to get the thing going was a little misdirected or a little overly, you know, idealistic or something. But just step back and reevaluate and then, you know, make those mid-course corrections.
So we've got a couple of callers on the line. Let me put them on. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to take a few callers as fast as we can. Hello, 942, you're on the line. How can we help you tonight? Hello? Okay, try the next one. Hello, 879, you're on the line. Can I help you?
2766, me.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Oh, there you are, Ann.
I'm here. I was running
Wonderful.
Late. I had that dinner party tonight, so I'm here.
Oh.
Keep going, pulling a new caller.
Okay, welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Hello, 879, you're on the line.
Well,
hello?
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Okay, you're on the line. Can we help you? Hello?
Okay.
Okay, there, try again. Yes.
Yeah, whoever
how
that is,
how can we help you tonight?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. I didn't know. I heard somebody else, and I didn't know whether you're talking to me or not.
Yes.
Yeah, I was calling to find out if you're doing any readings. I just tuned in, and if I gave you your birthday, what you could tell me what's coming up for me this year.
Okay, let's give me your birth information, and let's see what we can do with you.
Okay, November 18th, 1961. I was born in Chicago at 10:38 in the morning.
Okay. And is there anything particular that you want us to focus on? Because that's a lot of information to cover.
I had a very tumultuous year last year, and I've been told that I have a lot of family that's going to be dying, and I'm having some finance problems, and I'm in school. So
mm-hmm.
anything that you can tell me would be great.
Okay. We have you down as a 26-degree Scorpio sun with your moon at 7 degrees of Aries, and same degree as my sun is mine, so as my moon, so I sympathize with you, and a Capricorn rising. Yeah, your moon, our moons are getting toasted this year. Your Pluto is going to go back and forth over it. It's already gone over it once, and it's coming back to tag it again right now, right on. And square it, and then we'll square it a third time. But you've just started, it looks like, about a little over a year ago, a whole new phase in your life. And there's a lot of exciting, positive changes that's going on right now, and that has been for the last few months, and continues in as transiting Uranus sextiles your progressed Sun and Saturn. Mercury and Saturn. And your progressed Mercury and Saturn conjunct gives you, you know, you've been really concentrating at school. What did you go back for?
I was in nursing, but I switched over to do long-term care administrator. I want to eventually make some policy changes for the elders.
It looks marvelous. You've got Natalie, you've got Neptune, Mercury, and Venus all conjunct in Scorpio at the top of the chart, and a Mars in Sagittarius that's also being trined. The thing is, it's a restless year. It's going to be some changes, new friends coming in, new people around you, as Uranus trines your Mars in the 11th house. But I see that, you know, you may be going through the process of having to let go and weed out what's not important to you and take care of your own health while you're in the stress of changing. But it looks like you're right on schedule for your work.
Great.
And what do you see?
I think I'm noticing that Saturn getting the square twice more, three times more, as it's coming from the 11th, the 9th house of what your beliefs are. So it's a really restructuring time for you around beliefs and what went on 22 years ago. And we're all having, you know, Saturn park at 1982 for a couple of months or month or so, asking us to go back and look at what our purpose in relationships is. And with your Moon in Aries getting the square from Pluto, you're really redefining for yourself many of your relationship concepts
sense.
And thoughts. And you're also starting a new 12-year cycle with Jupiter down in the fourth because he's so next to Saturn and because your Mars is in Sag. So I think it's a really good year for you to kind of go, all right, the reason I think this is, and then question a lot of your beliefs, because that Mercury, Neptune, Venus believes stuff, but it doesn't always know why. You know, a lot of times you pick it up intuitively. So kind of go, why do I believe that again? That, I think it's a real questioning yourself here. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, that's a good point. Questioning yourself, and with the Pluto in sextile to that, that'll be really a chance to look into it deeply. And then Uranus this year is going to be conjuncting your Moon, and that can bring in a lot of emotional experience that you really can't sort of predict. You know, you can expect things to come up and surprise you emotionally, but it's a little hard to know what they're going to be.
Well, I think my mom is in the midst of transitioning, and 22 years ago, we had a horrible, very horrible relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's just all coming full circle now as she's getting ready to leave this world.
Yeah,
and
you're
right. It's an aha moment for her, and now it's kind of too late with me, other than, you know, I want God to have mercy on her soul, and, you know, I forgive her, but lots of things took place that didn't need to.
Yeah, there is no way. What I would like you to think of is, how can you complete karma with her so you never have to see her again in any lifetime? And it's not, she won't understand too much, but as she's getting ready to leave, what can you do just to kind of clean up things between the two of you and complete and finish? I can feel like she has been a erratic force in your life all your life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
very much so.
And so many of the other elders that you take care of, are you serving, you know, the mother and father archetypes rather than dealing with your own, which is understandable.
Yes. That is very, very true. That is right on target.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take another caller. Good luck with this transition.
Thank you very much.
Time ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
And prayers for your mom, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And hello, 458, you're on the line. How can we help you tonight?
Hello?
Hi,
hello?
You're on the line.
How can we help you?
Hi.
Do you have...
I'm looking, I would like to have you look at some 11th house issues for me. I've been having a bunch of dreams about friendships that I really don't get, and it's like
okay.
there's something that's happening in that area, but I just don't know where it's coming from. My birthday is January 16th, 1951, 6:30 a.m., Lafayette, Louisiana.
January 16th, 1951, at 6:30
a.m.
6:30.
Yep. Okay. In Lafayette, Louisiana.
Now, why are you saying 11th house?
Friendships is what I was thinking of.
You're dreaming. You're dreaming about your friends. Okay,
I
cool.
I
keep yeah.
dreaming about friends, and they're like, there's all these problems, and there's really not that going on in my real life. I'm just wondering what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Why that house is so active? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
No, I just wondered why you picked 11th house, because usually 12th house is dreams. But it's because you're dreaming about your friends.
It's the subject matter. But dreams, I mean, 12th house, too, it's just I seem to keep dreaming about those. There's been a whole series.
Well, you've got, Natalie, your Mercury in the 12th house, as Anne was bringing up.
Right.
And Uranus is squaring it at the moment, and it has a couple
okay.
of times this year. So really stirring up the, it's sort of, I always think of that as like electrifying the bottom of the pond. And really stirring up your own psyche, bringing up your Mercury-Uranus opposition natally,
right.
and that you really feel sort of, it may not necessarily be friends, but you're seeing it in friends, but changes in, you know, think of it more like symbolic stories of what's going on in the world that you're seeing through the nature of your friends is how I would see that. And what do you see there?
Well, I noticed that it actually forms a cardinal cross to Saturn, too. So
yep.
she's got a Mercury square Saturn. So your friends actually act as a metaphor for you of how you want to take action in the world, because Mars rules the 11th house, and they're in the it's in the second house. So what I would look at those dreams and go, what's the value? What's the value question? What am I being asked to value? And at the same time, you're having Pluto... on your Athena, so it's about seeing the patterns and the repetition. And the 11th house very often is a pattern house because it's an Aquarian house. So it's seeing things at 20,000 feet. So somehow the dreams with the friends would seem to be reflecting interior issues you're working on. And with Libra in the Gemini decant, meaning it's at the Gemini communication, back to the, you know, how do the friends issue mirror what you're working on internally? And with Jupiter ruling that house in Pisces, they're the metaphor to talk to you. Because if we said it to you with your Capricorn sun, you would go, oh, well, you know. And Mercury rules the sixth house of your daily life, too. So it's, I think it's a, whatever you're dreaming about them is actually what you're working on in yourself. Because there's this huge mirroring thing going on now with Saturn at that last degree of Libra trine to Neptune in Aquarius of friends. So that would be my thought. Mark, what do you see?
Still looking at the chart. I haven't quite got it up yet.
Okay. Yeah. I think that with Juno there, getting the square from Neptune too, you know, your friends and people that you partner with, that as it's, you know, it's getting a square from Neptune, so that friends are actually the illusion of you.
I would say enjoy the stories. We're going to have, we're getting off in a second. But enjoy the stories, keep an eye on them, and write them down as if they were myths or and work with them that way as all symbols. There's a lot of change going on in your life and
huge
in you.
Yeah.
Huge amount. And they may give you maps for how to handle situations, your dreams.
Yeah,
right?
And it is also, it is this dream energy and the awareness that comes through dreams is something you're meant to be working with. So, you know, it's something that you've been moving toward, and it's something that can bring out a lot of your intuitive awareness of things.
So we're going to say goodbye tonight. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Minnesota, and we're signing off with Mark.
Mark Wolf in New York City over by the Hudson River.
And Ann Orley in New York City at my Brera desk on the Upper East Side. Yay, goodbye. Have a great week, folks.
Goodbye.
Watch that Neptune-Venus.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now. Bye.